It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's a little cloudy outside. I'm not loving the weather today. I don't know.
I mean, it's not. It's not. Yeah. This is fine. Like,
it's okay.
We're gonna have one day like this in there.
I mean, I get it. I was telling you before we came in today, I'm in such a pot roast mood.
Oh yeah.
I need it to be like 60 degrees outside.
Me and my girlfriend made a bolognese last night, and she also decorated for the fall. So, like, I come home, and there's pumpkins everywhere. It smells like a bakery in the house because of the candles and stuff. And there's, like, we put up, like, the Halloween, not the Halloween lights, but, like, the orange lights around, like, our windows and everything. And I'm man, it just feels spooky in here. But it's September 17th, and it's 82 degrees outside. Like, what am I going to do with this? You know?
I'm like,
where are my flannels? Where's, you know, let's go out and have a bonfire. But
speaking of that. My girlfriend has gotten me a few flannels. I've never been a flannel guy. Might change this year. It might change.
Good. I'm glad. You're living life correctly.
We're going to see. I'm a little excited to try it out.
There's going to be a flannel that you find, and it's...
I think I already own it.
Oh, good.
I think I already own it.
Because I have three of them where I'm like, I'm wearing this every day.
This is the one.
They're stylish, they're comfortable, they're warm, they're also not too warm.
Yeah.
They're perfect for the fall. That's my go-to fall shirt. Like, October 1st, anyone that sees me here or anywhere else, I will be wearing flannels.
It's exclusive,
I have one for each day of the week, and
it's
then
exclusive.
I just rotate them.
Yep. I mean, that's how you do it. Yeah. Very, very college student of you to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because why?
I mean, I still do the whole college thing where it's like, I wear jeans like... 2-3 times a week, and then I'll wash them.
Yeah, well, that's jeans though. Like jeans are so different. Like they're.
Are they?
Yes, they are.
From flannels, they're that different.
Oh, I thought you meant like from like other
or
like,
hoodies.
I thought you meant from other pants.
That like, too. Hoodie season.
Hoodies are wearable unless you get something on them. You can just wear hoodies forever.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. But like I'm the shorts I'm wearing right now. I would not put these shorts on again tomorrow.
No.
And I can't explain why.
Yep.
It just doesn't feel right.
I totally get it.
It's weird.
Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. 803-0550 is the number to call. I want to throw this out there right now. Bills are 2-0. How believable do you think this is? How realistic is it, the start they've had? And what have you been most impressed by so far this season? We will, of course, look for your calls as the show goes on. At 11 o'clock, we will be joined by Paul Hamilton.
Hey. Also, speaking of Paul Hamilton, Buffalo Sabres, Elliot Friedman.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Elliot Friedman tweeting out about 10, 15 minutes ago, hearing that Peyton Krebs and Buffalo are closing in on an extension. Sounds like around 2 years, $1.45 million per year.
So we will get Paul's thoughts on that. And
sounds like they're
the
finally
challenge.
Getting an extension for Peyton Krebs.
Which is good, because their first preseason game is what, Saturday?
Saturday, which... That's insane.
I love
where did that come from?
But that's something I do enjoy with hockey season. Like with football season especially, it seems like it takes forever for us to get to kind of where we're at now.
Yeah.
There's so many little things now, that build up to it. Where hockey has its own little things as well, but then when it's time for preseason, when it's time for the season to start ramping up, it's here before you realize it.
Right, and I also want to point out that we were all waiting for this NFL season to start, and week two is over.
Yeah.
What?
Very quickly, all of a sudden.
You blink and it's gone.
Like, I was sitting there, I was talking with my dad last night too, where I'm just like, I'm so glad football is back to where we can have honest conversations. Not just looking at, you know, expectations or predictions or crazy thoughts based off stats. Last year, I know I fall into that category. I know a lot of us fall into that category.
Here's a thought for
and
you.
And I can sit here and go, the Saints! Who'd have thought?
Here's an honest thought for you. The Eagles are frauds, and they always have been.
The Eagles might kind of suck. They're 1-1.
No, I think they do. I think it's mostly on Nick Sirianni.
Oh, he's so bad.
I really do. I mean,
did you watch the end of that game last night?
I didn't watch the end. I stayed up for, I was watching like the second and third quarters, and then obviously I saw what happened, and how do you make that mistake?
It's coaching malpractice.
You look at, you know, ESPN has like the win percentage meter.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that percentage meter take such a sharp turn up.
Oh, you got to watch college football, man. That happens once a week.
I know, but in the NFL, you never see that happen unless it's the 13 seconds game.
13 seconds, the Tennessee versus Miami game from last year was one of them.
But, I mean, the Eagles had this game locked down.
Mm-hmm.
You literally just had to run the ball and let the clock do its thing and then just kick the field goal. It's not that hard.
Looking back at that final sequence for the Eagles, on first down, Saquon Barkley, this was 1:56 left. Atlanta is going to run out of timeouts here pretty soon into this. 4-yard rush, Atlanta timeout. 2nd and 6, Saquon Barkley, a 3-yard rush, Atlanta timeout again. Then Philly takes a timeout. And then they inexplicably throw the ball. You're on Atlanta's 10.
And then you throw it again.
That's my thing. Well, so you throw it on third. You threw it on third down. It's ultimately a drop, and it goes to fourth down. Just go for it.
Oh, I see. Okay, I thought you were a few plays back still.
For me, that 3rd and 3 play, I also would have ran it. I would have ran it again.
Yeah.
Kill more clock, but because they don't have any timeouts.
Yeah.
You gave them a free one by throwing the ball. And then you kick the field goal.
Right.
Even though you don't make it. Let's say you rushed 2 yards and you ultimately don't get it. You're yard short. They've got to drive over 90 yards to hopefully kick a field goal to send the game into overtime. They have no timeouts. And then, so after effectively the field goal of death, they go into the most prevent defense I've ever seen. Here's the plays for Atlanta after getting the kickoff. 11-yard pass to Kyle Pitts, 21-yard pass to Darnell Mooney, 26-yard pass to Darnell Mooney, 5-yard pass to Drake London, an incomplete pass, the touchdown pass, a 7-yarder to Drake London. It is over in a blink of an eye. I have not seen a team that is talented. I do think the Eagles are talented. Mm-hmm. Just fall apart. I mean, to the point where Joe Buck yesterday was on the broadcast, he sounded stunned.
Well, yeah, and it was also so mind-boggling just to look at the aftermath, too. Because Jeremy was talking about this morning. Nick Sirianni, in his postgame, was basically like, yeah, I need Jalen to do something different there. Like, if the play doesn't work, he's got to not throw the ball. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Why make that play call then?
I guess his explanation was that if he wasn't immediately wide open, run the ball.
Yeah, but like,
I would have just never put him in. We're running the ball.
Right. Don't even put that. I get it. He was a runner-up for the MVP 2 years ago. Whoop-de-doo.
I would say the same thing with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, a quarterback.
Yeah.
Just run the ball
right
there.
And either of them would probably do the same thing. I think if you look at any coach in the NFL, almost any coach in the NFL, they run the ball there.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm lost on Nick Sirianni. From everything from last year, from all the offseason stuff between him and Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. He can be a good quarterback in certain situations. But there comes a point where you have to say, hey, this is not your job right now. We just paid this running back to come here and run the ball.
Yeah.
The whole joke of, well, Joe Shane doesn't want to pay you, but we will. Okay, well then put him in the situation where he's best utilized. He's dropped 16 passes since 2021 on however many targets.
It was just it was inexplicable loss because again, you could have just destroyed the clock by running again and then going for it on fourth down. And ultimately, again, if you don't get it, they can't stop the clock. They would have to then rush onto the field and immediately get
going. And they have 20 yards further to go than they did in that kickoff. Yep. The kickoff, they only had 70 yards. This one, they would have had about 90.
And then,
also, real quick.
Oh, yeah, go.
Official from the Sabres, Peyton Krebs, two-year deal, $1.45 million per year.
Oh, don't you love that when like the contracts, you're just like, why is there so many numbers here?
The tweet in my notifications like cut off at the 1.4.
Oh, that's good.
And then I was like, oh. Let's make sure.
There we go.
So yep, 2 years, $1.45 million for Peyton Krebs.
So that's good. Again, at 11 o'clock, we will talk to Paul Hamilton about that and also the Prospect Challenge, which wrapped up yesterday. Ultimately, they went up, I think, with 13 forwards, 5 defensemen yesterday. But Yuri Kulik had himself a tournament that just makes you think he's got to be on the Sabres this year. Like, this is the year he makes that ascension. And we, of course, are also taking your calls. 803-0550 is the number to call. With really today's topic being on the Bills, we are through 2 weeks, as Josh has mentioned. It came out of nowhere. And how confident are you in the Bills' 2-0 start? We do have teams in the AFC that many would have considered there towards the end at 0-2, namely Baltimore and Cincinnati. And I would argue at this point now, just based off of how, you know, the NFL has gone over the years, good chance one of those two teams is not making the playoffs after a bad start. Yes, both have lost to Kansas City, and you could argue both probably could have won those games if just a little bit went different. But they ultimately fall to 0-2, namely because they both lost to bad teams as well. I mean, Baltimore losing to the Raiders because they decide they don't want to run the ball anymore. In an era now in the NFL, at least in a year in the NFL, where running the ball seems to be a good idea.
And I also remember in the offseason, too, Zamir White, the running back for the Raiders, was like, I mean, this is on the Raiders side, not the Ravens side, but still, none of these teams are like effectively running, right? I feel like there's few that are, but
it feels like
the offenses in the NFL right now are just very confused at what to do.
I'm up and down on Baltimore and like what I want to say with them. I'm sitting now on something that I heard Dan Orlovsky say yesterday on Get Up. It's Baltimore's just so easily decipherable. They're very clear in what they're doing.
Well, they've been doing the same thing for...
Well, it's more along the lines of when Derrick Henry's on the field, they're running the ball. Justice Hill's on the field, they're going to pass the ball. And there's just no differences. And so Vegas essentially was able to key up on Henry every time he was in. And I think ultimately he had ended up like a pretty good statistical day. Mm-hmm. But every time he was on the field, like they knew, don't worry about the pass. It's going to be a run. Either Lamar's going to keep it or it's going to Henry. And then when Hill's on the field, it's a pass. Zay Flowers still had a great day. Statistically, I think Lamar had a good day, but that was a disaster. And then for Cincinnati, their week one game, look, New England doesn't look as bad as maybe a lot of us thought they'd be. They fought hard with Seattle ultimately dragging that game to overtime, and then they did beat Cincinnati. But the Bengals never looked even remotely interested in playing the game. And then when you go to Kansas City, all of a sudden they're up and ready to go. But, you know, you have a Ja'Marr Chase freakout that ultimately costs them 15 yards. That kind of kills that drive. You have a iffy penalty. I would have called it. I get the situation. No one really wants to see it. But the defender is early by quite a bit. He does cause issues. I understand the whole fighting for the ball. I do get it. But I can understand the call as well. It's not that the Chiefs get calls. I mean, this is welcome to good teams don't make mistakes. And inexplicably, whenever the Chiefs play somebody, everyone makes bad mistakes. We see it as Bills fans. The Ravens did it last year in the AFC Championship game. It happens quite often. But both those teams now are 0-2, and I think there's a really good chance now. One of those teams is not making the playoffs, and that is a team that if you're the Bills sitting at 2-0 going, sweet, I'd love to not play them. Are you kidding me? That'd be nice. And then, you have the Chiefs. The Chargers actually don't look that bad. Talent-wise, I think they're up and down, but Harbaugh, again, is kind of just Harbaugh. He's a good program builder, whether it be the NFL or college. It seemingly has happened a lot faster than I thought it would. I didn't know if they had the talent, but they've got Quentin Johnston out here catching touchdowns. What do you mean he can catch? Right. That's where I'm at. What do you mean he can catch?
Last year, it looked like the ball was going away from him when he tried to catch it. It looked like he had reverse magnets in his hand.
Oh, it was bad. And then he has 2 touchdowns, one of which is a 50-50 ball. I mean, claps all around on that. I mean, I was, as somebody that was not really his biggest fan coming out of TCU, I'm not really a big TCU wide receiver fan. Jalen Reagor was another one. Good for him. If they found something in him and Ladd McConkey, and then the run game they seemingly have going on with Dobbins and Edwards, Baltimore castoffs, in case you're wondering. They basically have all of Baltimore's old running pieces, including Greg Roman at OC. Not bad. Not bad. Let's go to the phones here. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll start with Tim today. Tim, how are we doing today?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm not bad, not bad. Hey, I got like two questions and another thing. So I'm going to the Houston game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills, and hopefully it's like they're both undefeated. That'd be awesome.
That's the hope. I really want that because of the storylines.
It'd also be so funny because it's a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday, and you have all of the storylines around that. Plus, they're both 4-0. Yeah. That'd be so good.
But yeah, we have Jacksonville on Monday Night Football.
And now Cole Beasley was a tough runner, you know, and it's like Shakir, kind of like the same thing.
I think that's kind of where I'm at, Tim. Honestly, like I see Shakir as more of he's the taller, more athletic version of Beasley. If that's kind of what the Bills are looking at too, I think he can play a little bit on the outside. I don't know how much the Bills are ever going to actually use him there, but you've seen it already this year, 8 targets, 8 catches. And they haven't really been forced to throw the ball more. I mean, he also feels like a guy who, maybe not like a Malik Nabers game over the weekend where he had like 18 targets, but I could fully see a few games this year where he's in double-digit targets and has himself like 8-9 catches because he seems to be the most trustworthy guy by a mile for Allen.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Now, what about like that cap, you know, that dead cap we hit with Diggs at 28, I think it was? Is that why we don't have a number one right now?
I think it's more along the lines of just that's kind of where they're going. Tim, thanks for the call. It's more... It hits now, and then it's freed up next year. They're ripping the Band-Aid off now. In terms of not having a number one, I think that's more by design.
Right. I think as we're seeing the season go along, that's kind of what they wanted almost.
Yeah, it seems to be way more by design.
I think this whole cap situation the Bills are in right now, as you said, it's all going to free up next year. It's kind of like ripping the Band-Aid off now rather than dealing with it long term. And I mean, you look at the potential with guys like Khalil Shakir, James Cook,
mm-hmm.
Keon Coleman even, and on the defensive side as well, Christian Benford. I mean, there's names out there that are going to need contracts, and so you're also going to want to keep cap space for them.
Yeah,
obviously, you're moving
on to that next core.
Right.
You're trying to figure out now who's going to be a part of that next core.
Yeah, and things are going to change as time goes on, as seasons go on, in other aspects too, with other contracts, with other players coming and going. But I think honestly, more so the cap space is more for potential booms from these younger players. Mm-hmm. I think some of it is obviously going to be free agents and stuff like that. But if you look at, like I said, James Cook, Khalil Shakir, the way they're playing, they're going to warrant decent contracts.
I'm going to upset people. I hope the Bills do not pay James Cook 4 years and get out of there.
I think I'm with you, but I also, as long as you have a backup plan, if Ray Davis is your backup plan and he's working out, fine. But we also have time. We don't have to figure that out right now. It's not a issue right now for the Bills. It's not a pressing matter of like, hey, he needs a contract next offseason.
Yeah, this is year four. I mean, well, we are in year three, so you're going to kind of figure it out soon.
But it's not, I don't think it's going to be a situation where, like Jamar Chase, let's say. I mean, I'm not saying that James Cook and mm-hmm. Jamar Chase are on the same level, but in terms of needing a contract the season before he's up, rather than like, you know, debating or what's the word? Negotiating, that's mm-hmm. the word. Negotiating with him that offseason that he needs a contract. I think that's more likely than, you know, there's dramatics next offseason because James Cook won't sign a deal. I don't think that would be an issue.
I mean, it would be, you know, and no offense to Cook, it'd be a hell of a decision to hold out as a running back for a contract, especially when ultimately we're in an era now where he didn't even have 1,200 yards rushing last year, and he was the fourth leading rusher.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
It is running back by committee. You really shouldn't have a guy who's mm-hmm. your bell cow.
Yeah.
Unless they are a special talent, Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson, Christian McCaffrey. Unless you have that kind of talent at running back, in which those guys are typically picked even at the position earlier than most would say they should be just because of their all-around ability to do things. And even then, look, I'm a Texas guy. I love Bijan Robinson. I did not want the Bills to draft him. I didn't. And he looks amazing. He looks fantastic. But I'd have a hard time negotiating a contract after 5 years because he'd have the he'd have a fifth year option. I'd have a really hard time, even with how much I loved him at Texas.
Yeah, but no, to go back to the whole, you know, cap space contract conversation, I just think that with all of the things that happened with the Diggs trade and everything else this offseason, I feel like it's just heading in the direction of, the like you said, the new era, the next core. Who's going to be those pieces and what kind of deals are they going to need? And you want to have that flexibility. You don't want to be, you know, next offseason, well, we don't have cap space, but we need to sign three guys.
Yeah.
And if we cut all these guys, then, you know, now we have the debt. It's a whole thing for the Bills front office, and I think they did it the right way.
They've prepared themselves for the long term. The problem was, when it was happening, you just didn't know how this season was going to go. And to be fair, we are two games into this season.
Right, right.
Very much understand that. We are not even in October, obviously. I've already gone on my pot roast rant. I need it to be a little bit colder. But you are seeing that, hey, this team is talented. There are young players on this team that you can get excited about. We're also already seeing, you know, returns for the defensive line. Rousseau had a 3-sack game. Von Miller has only had 2 sacks, but it's been in 2 games, and he's looked dominant at times. Ed Oliver had a big moment against Miami as well. And then you look over on the offensive side of things, they've gotten their tackles both signed. Obviously, you have Allen. Cook, we have mentioned. I don't want to necessarily sign to a second contract, but right now you're looking pretty good there. Shakir, we've already taken a call on him. I am massively high on him. And Kincaid ultimately hasn't done much, but he hasn't really been asked to. And on that point, reading some of your tweets, Buffalo Boy tweets in, what's impressed me is all three phases, and they've done it without too much Kincaid, Knox, and Samuel. And if those guys kick in, look out. I think that's right. Samuel, I think, in both games, is yet to play 30% of the snaps. And then Knox is one big catch from week one, where it was like a 24-yard catch. And Kincaid hasn't really had to do much. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all joked about in week one where he was, you know, quadruple covered.
Right, yeah.
But even against Miami, the game was over so quick, the Bills had less than 50 offensive snaps. So we really haven't gotten to see necessarily what this offense could be in, say, a shootout or anything like that, because they haven't had to do that.
I will say, though, it is interesting to see what's going on with Curtis Samuel. I really thought early on this year we were going to see a lot more from him, and he really hasn't been involved at all. And I don't think that's an issue, but I wonder how much longer that's going to continue. Because I feel like, one, like you said, you haven't needed him, really. Mm-hmm. You've relied on Shakir, you've relied on Cook, and even Mac Hollins has stepped up and shown his ability.
I enjoy that he's not just a fun character,
right,
at least up
no,
to this
he's
point.
Actually, he's been, you know, right, contributing. But with Samuel, I think it's just, is that, you know, kind of like an ace up your sleeve for later in the season? Is that a, you know, work him into the offense as it goes? Because as we've seen so far, and as we've heard from Joe Brady, this is a very ever-changing offense, ever-evolving offense in terms of week by week going through different things. And is it just not Curtis Samuel's week yet, right? Is it just, it's not his time to be involved. It's not the team that he needs to be involved against. And I think you might see him more against teams like the Jaguars, like the Ravens, or like, you know, the Chiefs and the 49ers. Like, those games are still yet to come. And I think that guys like Samuel and Kincaid are going to start showing up in those types of games.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I feel like this offense is going to just kind of bounce these guys around.
But you know what's impressive too, and I know Chris Brown has brought up as well on One Bills Live, is that, you know, we all kind of expected some early struggles from the team. That maybe this team could be more talented than the last few years.
Mina Kimes said this in the first week of the preseason, that this offense might struggle, but when it's on, it's going to be on.
Yeah, it'll take some time. And I think that's what's made me most excited about the fact that they have started 2-0. They dismantled Miami even before Tua's concussion. That was not a game. Arizona, you had to come back, but the offense never really looked like it was struggling. It was a bad Allen turnover, and then your defense in the first half had a real hard time of giving the ball back to the offense. But they figured it out. They've scored over 30 points in the first two games, and it does kind of feel like, hey, the offensive struggles, they haven't shown up yet. And they've had to go to their depth already as well. And that's looked really good. So it has been a really nice sign of things to come that the expected early struggles have not had to rear their head yet. And if anything, you're leaving this going, this kind of feels legit. Now, they do have harder games upcoming. I've already mentioned Baltimore being 0-2, but it's still Baltimore. And I believe that's on the road as well. So you're going to be in Baltimore for a primetime game. That could be a tough road. Jacksonville, I've mentioned in a joke, but in all seriousness, I hate playing that team. They never play them well in my lifetime. It has all been ugly, disastrous, and I leave pissed off. And they're 0-2, and Trevor Lawrence is talking about how they suck, just outright. So I'm imagining a 20-19 loss. That's just where my head's at now, and I hate it. But I'm not looking forward to the Jaguars game. But if you get through that, I feel really, really good going through the rest of the season. You've built yourself a cushion. Well, teams like Baltimore and Cincinnati have not at all, and seemingly, you know, best way to put it, they are reeling and having a difficult time dealing with that. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll take your calls, read some of your tweets as well. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to join. Talking the Bills 2-0 start. How legit do you see it going forward, especially with Jacksonville coming up Monday night and Baltimore after that? Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
VGR.
Our team really went down there was focused on themselves in terms of, yes, respecting the opponent for sure, really good opponent, yet also really focusing in on the things we could control and improving our game. And that was led by Josh and his leadership, of course. And I thought all three phases really factored into the win and played really just good, sound, physical football. So those are things we can look to build on as we move forward here.
There's Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about the balance on all three phases of the game. And I don't know, the special teams kind of left a little bit to be desired, mainly due to the kickoff. Through 2 weeks, you give up one kickoff return, I'm going to be a little upset. Selfish of me, I understand, but I'm going to be a little upset. especially because that Arizona game looks a bit better after 2 weeks. Looks a bit better.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not great, because I think that was more Arizona going like, all right, we simply did not get the ball enough to Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, and then, did you see his quote too? His quote was, yeah, there were four times I was targeted. I didn't catch it, so gotta figure that out.
And I'm pretty sure that was Kyler's four incompletions.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, chill out. It's okay. Like, you did great. You had two touchdowns. Like,
nope, I need my wide receivers to be slightly unhinged.
No, I'm here for it, but it's like, man.
That man saw four incompletions and went, nope. Cannot have that ever again. I need that in my wide receivers.
I mean, you've heard what his dad says is like, there's the one thing that I wish he had from my game was complaining, like being a diva and complaining for the ball. If I don't get the ball, I know that's kind of weird. Like,
no, I get it. Because we'll all complain about it, but every wide receiver kind of should be. The alpha diva. Honestly, they should. You do want that guy that has, like, it's the same with cornerbacks. You want a dude that almost has, like, unnatural and uncomfortable confidence in themselves.
You know what, though? There's a way to do that, right? Like, there's a way to be the diva and the I want the ball guy.
Yeah.
And it's on the field.
Yeah.
Not off the field.
That's where
in my opinion,
I'm going to upset people. I think that's where Stephon Diggs kind of nailed it for most of his Bills career. He had moments on the field where, like, he was complaining and the cameras caught it, but off the field, outside of his every now and then super vague comments that you were like, "Can you just give a straight answer, please and thank you?" and he wouldn't. He was perfect. Very rarely any problems. I mean, the problems kind of started when McDermott sort of stepped in it a little bit right before OTAs, and then even before that, there were some, you know, again, the vague comments by Diggs. But outside of that, that's sort of like the alpha number one receiver you sort of want. Keon Coleman sort of has the unhinged personality as well, where just all of a sudden he'll go from making a joke to, like, completely straight-faced. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're like, I have no idea if he's joking or not. This is really scary. Like you kind of need that a little bit.
Right. Yeah, you just need the... You never know what you're going to get. You need the Forrest Gump. Life's like a box of chocolates.
Mac Hollins, who gives, like, life advice on Instagram every day. And it's good.
I follow him now. And every once in a while, I pop up, hey, Max Maintenance Challenge here. And I'm like, this is great. He's teaching me how to... I don't even know. Like, I think one of them was
like, cleaning out pipes, like, in your sinks. Yeah. And it was, like, perfect. And it's just like...
There was another one where he's like,
so this
make
is a guy
sure
that doesn't wear
out.
Shoes and pours M&Ms in water? Okay.
Yeah, there's another one where it's like, make sure to clean out your garbage cans like once a month. And I'm like,
he's right.
Yeah. Why didn't I think of that? Like, I don't know. It's just, I like the personalities they have, but because they're able to be personalities, but also be, you know, serious and ready to go.
Yep, 803-0550 is the number to call. How legit do you think the Bills' 2-0 start is to start this year? Let's go back to the phones. We've got John on the line. John, welcome to WGR. How are we doing today?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. If I do bet a little bit, but I'm not a gambler. I think on paper we should beat Jacksonville, which is why I'm worried about the game.
Totally with you.
The Bills always play down to their opponents. Lamar Jackson scares the hell out of me. I think that's probably a loss. So if they go 1-1 in the next two games, I'll be all right with that. So the other thing I wanted to comment on and what I really called is the Elam issue, if you call it that. I think it would be a mistake at this point to even consider letting him go. I would re-sign him for his fifth year unless they can find somebody with similar experience that they think is better that could fit in. And here's why. I call it the hunger factor. Having him on the squad and knowing that he feels like he is capable of being a starter but can't break in is going to make him a hungrier player. All right? The other part of it is, too, is it's like buying a house. Unless you know you have something to replace the house you're selling, don't sell the one you're in, all right, until you know you have another house. So I just think it would be a mistake to even consider getting rid of him right now, unless they can find somebody that they think can fill the bill better and has similar playing experience. You just can't take some guy that doesn't, you know, is on the practice squad on another team and slip him in there and think he's going to immediately be an impact player. And I just think keeping Elam would be a smarter choice at this point. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah, John, thanks for the call. The Elam conversation is interesting in the sense that going into this year, it has honestly felt like they are giving him a new lease on life. Like, just turn the page. Those first 2 years didn't happen. You and the secondary coach didn't seem to see eye to eye. You are still the first round pick. Let's do everything we can to see if this works. He's not on the field, though. Ultimately, against Miami, he plays 8% of the defensive snaps. He plays 6 of them. I don't have what he played for week one, but that's not great. I think he's doing a lot more on special teams, and then it really doesn't help his case when Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford look to be one of the best cornerback duos in the league. And they're doing that, you know, for most of against Miami without Taron Johnson. Most of Arizona and all of Miami, they're doing that without Taron Johnson. They look incredible. Cam Lewis also himself looks very, very good filling in on that nickel corner role. I want to believe in Elam because he is a first-round pick, right, Josh? Like you want that guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure, because you don't want that investment to just go away.
But then in the same draft, you got Benford in the sixth round. And right. He's part of what I'm talking about is this really good cornerback duo. He's the other part of it. You got Rasul Douglas in a trade. It feels like Elam, and to pick up the fifth-year option, that's a lot of money that you're going to have to give to a guy that, like I said, I mean, through at least in week two, he played 6 snaps, 8% of the defensive snaps.
And I get it. As you said before, it's only week two, but at the same time, with Elam's history, we don't know where this is going to go.
Yeah,
there's no way to guess or speculate which way this is going to go, because there's been moments where Elam's flashed.
I thought he was very, very good.
Yeah, but it's just, I think that injury maybe set him back along with whatever was going on with the coaching that hopefully isn't there now. But I don't know. It's a little too early to tell, but it's also very, it's early to tell on both sides, right? Like it's too early to tell if you want to move on or if you want to keep him around.
Yeah.
Right, that's the hard part is I don't think we're going to know that until week 10. I feel like.
Yeah, you're going to have to get through most of this year, and even then, it's just, I mean, ugh. And then week one, Elam didn't get any snaps on the defense.
Yeah. And two, also.
So even the Miami thing, you can probably argue all those came like Cole Bishop snap did, which is the game is over. All of our starters are out. Here are all the backups.
And to be fair, in the few snaps Cole Bishop got, he made some good plays.
He made a very good play in the end zone, absolutely. Yeah.
And granted, they're, you know, end of the game, garbage time-esque snaps. But
I'll
like,
take it.
Yeah.
Good reps.
You're right. But it's to the point with Elam where you don't want to give him a big contract based off 1 year, but you also don't want to move on from something potentially good because, again, it's a first-round pick.
I think there's a lot of hope there, but here, perfect example. I mean, it's in the news now, speaking of first-round picks, but first overall pick.
Bryce Young.
Carolina has just cut the cord. He's going to start again probably this year. They're going to be bad enough where it's like, we'll throw Bryce Young in there. For all intents and purposes, the Bryce Young era in Carolina, to me at least, is over. I know Dan Orlovsky said it on their pregame show yesterday. Carolina should, as quickly as possible, trade him for, you know, not quoting him, but that's effectively what he said was, trade him, it's done. That's where I'm at. I'm not saying the Bills should think about trading Elam. They do need depth. They've already had a number of injuries in the second or in on the defense, so I'd keep
him. You always want to keep him around, but.
But I am also somebody, I'm not willing to spend 4 or 5 years waiting for a guy to develop. And maybe that's not fair to Elam because, again, maybe he just did not click with a coach for 2 years. But sticking with quarterbacks, the Giants, Daniel Jones, Bryce Young gets 18 starts, and they're like, yeah, we're done. And part of that could probably be Carolina being fire happy. David Tepper, I get it. But it probably is also a good decision where – we're on like almost 70 starts for Daniel Jones. 62.
Well, 62 games.
62 games, and they are still trugging along.
62 games, 61 starts in 6 years. He has a record of 22-38-1 with just under 1,300 yards passing, 64 touchdowns, 42 interceptions.
He ain't good.
No.
He's not good.
No.
And so that's the thing. And a lot of any success came in his first year with Brian Daboll. But you're seeing coaching staffs are going to go down with that ship. Where Dave Canales.
He's also been sacked 185 times.
Oh boy, that's a sack.
Six times this season
already.
In 2 weeks, he's been sacked six times.
That's Sam Howell numbers from last year, right there. But I think there is also a healthy conversation of it's okay to admit a first or a second or a third round pick is missed and move on. I mean, again, ultimately, he played no snaps in week one and then six snaps in week two. Those six snaps, not knowing for sure, but thinking likely, came at the end of the game when they had backups in. Guys like Cole Bishop getting his first snaps of his career. You know, guys like Jamarcus Ingram are getting playing time over him.
Well, to be fair, Jamarcus Ingram had a great game.
I know, but that's my saying. Undrafted guys coming in.
I'm sorry. I thought you meant
– and Elam can't get on the field.
I understand now. My bad. I misunderstood what you were going
Don't necessarily want to take it as a slight to Ingram, but it's just more no, – it's another late round or even undrafted guy coming in and doing significantly better than Elam. And to be fair, they both
came in at the same time.
Yeah. And
Ingram's in his third year.
And I will say this again. I think he had really good moments in his rookie year that was then – frustrating in year two, where in training camp he was just not making any ground to the point where he was like the third, fourth cornerback on the depth chart, and you're sitting there going, what happened to this first round pick, the guy that was taking notes, the guy that McDermott looked like he'd you'll love at first sight kind of deal. It was all gone, and it was very, very weird, sad situation. You've mentioned he also dealt with injuries, but he also was inactive a lot last year. You know, it was a bit of both, of just it was not working at all. I don't think they're going to move on from him this year. I also, though, wouldn't be surprised if at the trade deadline they moved him and a pick for a bigger move, especially if they're winning, which so far this year, they look pretty darn good. To the caller's other points, though, because he did mention the two games, Jacksonville and Baltimore. I'm with you. Bills are 5.5-point favorites at home against Jacksonville. They look like a terrible team, and the Bills have literally never in my life played well against the Jaguars. I have seen the Blake Bortles playoff game. I have seen the Urban Meyer game, and I saw last year's London game, and none of them give me any sort of confidence going forward with that game. But also, they should win it. They should. They look like the better team. The vibes are way better there. Again, we're two games in for the Jags this year, but they've also lost seven straight going back to last year. They look awful. They don't look good by any means. They played a bad game against Miami, and Miami was able to come back and win it, even though Jags really should have had that game pretty much in the bag. And then they just never looked right in week two. It never looked good going forward. And then Baltimore, Lamar Jackson scares me until he plays the Bills. He has not had a great time against Buffalo in his career.
I think every game, I don't know if every game he's lost, but I know he doesn't have a great record against the Bills.
His
statistically,
2019 year, he did win it, but it came down to the last drive,
right?
It's an throw to John Brown that's a little errant, but
I remember. I mean, obviously the Taron Johnson pick six.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that right there in the playoffs. And then last or 2 years ago, you were at the game. The Bills were losing 20-3, and come back and win it.
Yeah,
like no problem.
It was a rain game. Don't get me wrong. Allen's stats also did not look that great.
Yeah,
but up to this point, he has not had a truly dominant game. Mm-hmm. Up to this point, in terms of regular season, he has a passer rating of 79.2, 313 yards passing, four touchdowns, and three picks
against the Bills.
This is against the Bills, okay. And then of course the playoff game as well, which is the famous pick six to Taron Johnson.
Yep.
Ultimately, a very low scoring game, but he has not been the, oh my God, we are playing, you know, a superhero against the Bills, and the defense has been firing on all cylinders. I'm actually very excited for that game in Baltimore. I think it's going to be Monday Night Football as well, or Sunday Night Football. It's another primetime game. I'm excited for that one. That one should be great, but get me through.
That's Sunday Night Football.
Sunday Night Football, but get me through the Jacksonville game, because I hate when they play the Jaguars. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get back to your calls after a quick timeout, and do stay tuned. It's at 11 o'clock. Paul Hamilton will join to talk the Peyton Krebs extension, which got announced today. 2 years, $1.45 million per year, and also the Sabres Prospects Challenge ended last night, and Yuri Kulik had himself a tournament. We'll talk all that at 11 with Paul. But your call's up next. This is W.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
UGR. Welcome back, everyone. Jack Jones and Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And of course, we have been connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And we're going to continue to do so as we go back to the phones. And we've got Kim on the line. Kim, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to weigh in really quick. I do think that it's very legit 2-0. I really like where the Bills' trenches are at, both sides of the ball. Seems like they have a lot of moving pieces that I really, really like. And I was a big proponent of not getting rid of Von Miller this offseason when they were salary cap dumping, just because I knew that him coming back and being healthy could return to a shell, at least a shell of his, and he's just fantastic. But at any rate, I do have a question for you guys that I'd really like your advice on. I woke up to a fantasy trade request from somebody in my league this morning who, I just for context, I have James Cook, by the way, and somebody wants to trade me Josh Allen and Chris Olave for Kyler Murray and DK Metcalf. I have Kyler Murray and DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. I want to know what you guys think, just like outlook-wise, maybe recency bias. Do you think that that's something that I should entertain? Talk to me.
Kim, yeah, thanks for the call. So I own Olave in a few of my leagues, and he is deeply frustrating because the Saints are scoring, and he's not. And then Allen, of course, you do have all of the ability that he has, but the Bills themselves have not really gone to him too much. He has four touchdowns in game one. He has a single touchdown against Miami. So like, there's sort of this imbalance there. I love Kyler Murray. I think a lot of people did forget just how good he can be when healthy. And now you have Marvin Harrison Jr. there, and that looks to be a smash. And DK Metcalf, Geno Smith is maybe the most underrated quarterback in football. That man makes throws that has my jaw on the floor like once a week.
Also, their offense just looks completely different this year.
And real quick.
Kim, what are your other wide receivers? Is it do you need Metcalf or what's the deal there?
So, great question. I went heavy receiver because it is a PPR league, good. And that's why I actually lost Josh Allen. So I'm a big proponent of drafting Josh Allen every year. But anyways, here's my receiver. So I have CeeDee Lamb, who I drafted like fourth overall. I have Garrett Wilson, who's just been an absolute disappointment.
I have DJ Moore, who has also kind of been an absolute disappointment. And then DK Metcalf kind of rides the bench. It's a double flex league as well, which I can – so I can go a heavy receiver. I can go four receivers at any given time. And I like the depth. It's just there's a lot of people who are kind of up and down, like Garrett Wilson and DJ Moore. So that's why I was kind of entertaining it. Olave, you know, he gets a lot of the target share, which I like, where a lot of my other guys kind of aren't right now.
That's
I do as much as I was complaining about Olave, I really like him, and he is not leaving my starting lineup because the Saints look so good, and eventually he's going to pop. Metcalf can oftentimes be a boom or bust guy.
Honestly, I would try to maybe counter offer and put some other wide receivers in there, but I don't know. It seems like
I like the trade.
I kind of like it. I would maybe see if you could counter it, but at the same time, I think the trade as is. Why not give it a try? You get Josh Allen, and that's. I think that makes up for the points you might miss out on Chris Olave every once in a while.
So the reason that I won't be able to counter and move off of DK Metcalf is because the person I'm trading with is a diehard Seahawks fan. So,
oh, okay. Like, well,
I want Allen, he wants DK. So that's
they're the main pieces. Then, I do it.
Honestly,
I would do it, Kim.
I would send it. Why not? You know, like Allen has the ability to get you the points. Like I said, to get you the points that Olave might just not be there every single week. But, I mean, it's Josh Allen. Come on. Right?
Yeah, and I have Cook. So it's like one of those two is scoring, and it might be them at the same time.
That's true.
Kim, thanks for the call, man. Good luck. I would absolutely pull the trigger on the trade. And, yeah, there's always something nice about doubling up, and now you're seeing it as well. Allen joked, but it might be serious. Cook may actually get more of those, like, one-yard carries touchdowns.
I did not think it was going to be that way this year. I stayed away from James Cook in fantasy
for that reason.
And I feel really stupid right now.
Good luck, Kim. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in. How serious do you believe the Bills' 2-0 start is, especially when looking around the rest of the AFC? Bengals and Ravens both 0-2. Pittsburgh, due to the mandate of heaven, 2-0 have scored a single touchdown in two games. It's so predictable. Again, 803-0550, the number to call. But coming up next, we're going to switch a little bit over to hockey, talk the Sabres with Paul Hamilton. Peyton Krebs gets his extension, and the Sabres wrapped up their prospect challenge last night. We'll get his thoughts on those after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show rolls along. And, of course, today's show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive, whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The Buffalo Sabres did just wrap up the Prospect Challenge. Their first preseason game is this weekend on Saturday. Josh, let me figure it. Is it again? Oh, it's against Pittsburgh. Is it not? No.
Yes, it is.
It is?
I think. I thought so. That's what I read this morning.
I got to look this now.
Uh-oh.
It is. Oh, no, it's a week from today. It's next Tuesday. It's the 24th against Pittsburgh. I don't know. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, when does the preseason start for the Sabres?
Saturday.
It is Saturday.
I knew it.
I'm looking at this online. What are you doing? It's like Tuesday the 24th.
Yeah, they changed the time of the Monday game because of the Monday night football game.
That's right.
So it's going to start at 5 instead of 7.
Okay.
But they're still playing it. So, yeah, they play at home on Saturday and on Monday.
Wow, they play three games in 4 nights, 5 nights.
Welcome to hockey preseason, baby.
But it's also different guys.
Yeah,
you know, not everybody plays in all of them. So, and they got to kind of get it in now because this is a weird training camp for them. It opens tomorrow. They have three practices, and that's it. Then they have these preseason games, and then next Tuesday it's on a plane to Germany.
Paul, on that, I mean, like, me and Josh were talking about it to open up the show today, too, and we'll get to the prospect challenge. Peyton Krebs as well gets his extension. But just to me, it always surprises me how quick the preseason training camp portion of hockey goes. It really does seem like it starts, and before you can even blink, a regular season game is going on. And for the Sabres, that will be true because their first game is in Prague, I think, well before the rest of the season, rest of the NHL begins.
Well, it used to be that they used the preseason to get in shape. It wasn't like it is now where athletes are working out all, you know, 12 months out of the year, maybe take a slight vacation, and but basically working out 12 months out of the year, that's not the way it is anymore. It used to be you were out of shape, and as soon as you got to training camp, like tomorrow, they would start scrimmages, and that's it. There'd be no going over systems or anything like that. They would go through a week of scrimmages and just, like, skate the heck out of them. To try to, you know, get them in shape before they actually, you know, start, okay, this is how we're going to play, these are our systems, and that kind of stuff.
Nightmare fuel. Just knowing you're showing up to camp out of shape, 20 pounds out, and you're like, I'm going to puke all over the ice for 3 hours.
And let's just keep scrimmaging.
We're just going to keep going until everyone's
And then when
done.
You're done with the scrimmage, they skate you about as hard as they can.
As someone that can't skate, that is up there as one of my worst nightmares.
As someone that never actually played an organized game of hockey, I would be so terrified of a bag skate. I mean, I don't like the idea of that. But speaking about, you know, preseason and getting everything underway here, Paul, the Prospects Challenge was this past weekend. Yuri Kulik, pretty dominant, 5 goals, 2 assists in 3 games, right? And I mean, that's what you want to see. I mean, he joked about it on the night of the draft. I'm going to make it to the NHL. I have nothing else to do next year. He didn't that year, but he's definitely trending in that direction, and I think this prospects camp is showing that.
Yeah. I remember asking him, do you have a plan B? He goes, no. I'm just going to make the team this year.
That's such a good response, though. I love that. I want him to make it this year, but, I mean, what's it looking like? Is he probably the guy to watch
He's
in this
the only guy show? That would have a shot. Maybe Hellenius, but Hellenius, as much as I was impressed by an 18-year-old coming in and doing what he did, I'm not sure he's quite ready for the NHL yet, but he showed well. You know, I liked what I saw, you know, especially you can tell how he thinks the game. But as far as making the team, I would think Kulik would be the only one who might have an opportunity to do that. I mean, he needed to show up at this tournament and be the best player there. He did that. I mean, he accomplished that, and he showed he talked about it, but he showed that he is better on battles now. He is stronger. You see him along the wall. He's not getting beat, you know, and getting the puck taken off him. He's a little more engaged into back checking, and that's, as Lindy Ruff said in his opening press conference, that's non-negotiable. You know, there are things that as a team, you're going to do, and if you don't do them, you're not going to play. It's as simple as that. So, I can see a big difference in that. And I think there is one spot available. I mean, they've got 5 for their top 6. And right now their top 6 would be Benson, Zucker, or Greenway. It would slide into that spot. But if Kulik, you know, goes into training camp and really plays well like Benson did last year, nobody thought – when day one of training camp, you think anybody thought Benson was going to make the team?
I didn't.
I mean, Kevin Adams and Don Granato didn't think Benson was going to make the team on day one of training camp. But he pushed his way on. So Kulik could do that. I mean, he could have a great camp and wind up taking that spot. But there's no sense him making the team and playing on a line with Malenstein and Lafferty. I mean, there'd be no point in that. So if he's going to make the team, he's got to be one of your top 6. And to me, there is one spot available in that top 6.
Paul, we'll get to that here in just a second. We did have a caller, though, just call in. And you mentioned there's really only 3 practices for training camp, but a caller did want to know, is that going to be open to the public or is that closed off?
I do not believe it is, no.
Okay. Now, on the forwards, though, Peyton Krebs. He's kind of been the discussion up to this point now. The offseason has kind of felt wrapped up for the Sabres. He ultimately gets his 2-year deal, an average annual value of $1.45 million. Is this sort of just a, you know, we're going to see where this goes, 2 years, kind of figure it out? To me, it does feel like Krebs is sort of that forgotten young piece they have. He sort of felt like the exciting young guy in the Jack Eichel trade. He has good numbers in terms of analytics, statistics not always there. There are times where I wouldn't want to, you know, see him in a dark alley at times during games, and others, he seems to disappear. What are your thoughts so far on Peyton Krebs throughout his Sabres career?
Well, I wouldn't blame him if he's confused. You know, what do you want from him? What are you going to do with him? I mean, is he going to be a checker? Is he going to be a guy who can play in your top 6? Is he going to be a two-way guy? It just seems like everything was confusing what they really wanted from him. And, you know, he tried real. I mean, you get the effort from him and that type of thing. But I just think he didn't know, like, where do I fit in? So that's going to be Lindy Ruff's job. Because as I look at the team right now, he's the 13th forward in my depth chart. Now, Lindy Ruff's depth chart might say something different. But I don't see where he fits in right now, especially if, let's say, Benson winds up on the line with Cousins. And then you have Greenway with McLeod and Zucker. And then you've got Lafferty and Abe Cabell and Malenstein. And it's like, I don't, you know, where do you put him? I just don't have a place for him. But I don't think they, with Lafferty, Malenstein, and Zucker, or and Abe Cabell, they got them to sit. So I would, and especially with what they're expecting and what they want out of a line like that, an energy line like that. But you don't know. We got to go through training camp. Lindy Ruff's the head coach. He may have other ideas. He may want to see, you know, what are we going to see from training camp? We're going to, of course, give him an opportunity to, you know, try to fit in somewhere in that top. And who knows with injuries? I mean, how many teams go through training camp and don't get any injuries? So injuries may take care of the conversation. You get somebody hurt, well, Krebs is in the lineup then. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, first Kulik and Krebs, where they fit in. As I said, an outside chance maybe Hellenius could make some noise and make the team. I think with signing that energy, those energy guys, I think that pretty much takes a guy like Rusick out of the equation. You know, he's a two-way guy in Rochester. I wasn't overly impressed when I saw him here last year. In Rochester, I like him, but he doesn't seem to translate into the NHL, at least now yet. Same thing with Roseanne. Kulik did what he was supposed to do. He dominated. Now, you could say Roseanne had 5 assists in 3 games. I didn't think he dominated, to be quite honest with you. I don't think he did what Kulik did. He was fine, but he's got to be one of the guys that you notice. And when he was passing the puck, you might have noticed him, but I didn't notice him really doing much else as far as that. So I was a little bit disappointed. So I don't see him really competing to make the team. So, you know, Kulik is the guy that I would have my eye on starting tomorrow.
What about Noah Osland? You mentioned he didn't have a point in the tournament, but you did walk away somewhat impressed by him?
Extremely. I mean, they don't pick the star, so I picked like 3 stars in the first game. I picked him as the 3rd star, and he didn't have a point. I mean, he had the puck all night. I mean, he and his line with Hellenius and Wahlberg, they were in the zone every time they had the puck, and they never the other team couldn't get it out. It was Columbus, and they just couldn't get the puck out, and Osland, he's not the biggest thing in the world, but he competes. I mean, he's always in on the battle. He wins the battle. He protects the puck. He finds the puck. And I just, doing play-by-play, I was constantly saying his name with the puck. And he had some good opportunities on some one-timers that he wasn't able to score on. But I was thoroughly impressed, you know, getting a good look at him for kind of the first time. I saw him in Rochester for a game or two in the playoffs, but you know, then he was in the lineup, and then he wasn't after the first couple of games. But I think he's going to be a very good player for Rochester, and I think as he gets a little bit older, I think definitely will be a player for the Buffalo Sabres.
So shifting gears a little bit to training camp itself now, Paul. I mean, I know there's a lot of different storylines coming in here. There weren't big moves in the offseason, but there were a lot of names added. I mean, Sam Lafferty, Beck Malenstein, Abe Cabell, Ryan McLeod in the Jeff Skinner trade, and Jason Zucker. Another name that was added is goaltender James Reimer. What do you think the goaltending room is going to shake out like this year? Is Reimer a let's see what happens, or is he going to be the backup to a Luukkonen?
Well, Levi's got to play. And it's, you know, what does Lindy Ruff have in mind? He played the heck out of Dominic Hasek. He played the heck out of Ryan Miller. And he played the heck out of Kari Lightning in Dallas, who played 59, 59, and 62 games in 3 of the 4 years Lindy Ruff was there. He didn't really have a goalie in Jersey he could do that with. So he didn't do it as much in New Jersey. But Lukanen played over 50 games last year, and that's when he thrived. Now the question is, because we don't have really anything to go by other than last year, is he going to be as good if he only plays 40? Does he need to play and play and play to keep his edge? Is that what he needs to, or can he do it playing 40 or 45 games and Levi playing the others? But if he gets into the 55-60 game range, I don't think that's enough for Levi at age 22, in which case I would rather see him in Rochester, which then my question would be, is he going to be okay with that? He was okay last year when they sent him down. He embraced it and took a team that was almost out of the playoffs to a tie for first place and really improved his game, because he came up, if you remember, played a couple of games in the middle of that too, and was better in Buffalo, you know, in the games he played. So, you know, he showed mass improvement last year too. But if you're going to go with Lukanen for 55-60 games, I just don't think Levi can be sitting here, and in which case Reimer would be the backup. Now, you know, I'm sure Kevin Adams was honest with Reimer and told him, you know, we'll see what happens in training camp. So I think he has to know he could wind up in Rochester. I doubt they're going to do this three goaltender thing again. That'd be a disaster. It was a disaster last time they did it. And but Reimer hasn't been in the minors since 2010-2011 season. So it's been a while since he's done that, but he chose to come here. So that could mean if Lukanen and Levi are the two, and Lindy Ruff decides, you know, I'm going to get Levi in there, then Reimer's going to have to start in Rochester. As I said, I just don't think three goaltenders works.
It is going to be very weird, though, with the goaltender situation. Levi, at this time last year, we were all talking about him. He's going to be the starter. Whether people like it or not, he's probably going to be one of the main guys. And now, you know, we're sitting here today, right before training camp starts. The math, again, like with the forwards, doesn't really make sense. You want him to play, it's likely going to have to be in Rochester. It does feel weird, though, Paul, how quickly it has changed. A lot of it, though, due to the exceptional play by Lukanen himself.
Yeah, it has changed. And it's, you know, as we look back, we have the benefit of being able to look back. It was a mistake. They made a mistake with Levi by basically handing him the job and, you know, thinking, and no college goaltender had ever done what they were trying to have him do in the history of the league. So, but they thought, you know, what they saw, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't necessarily disagree with them, that, you know, he might be the type of guy that be able to handle it, especially with the pressure situation he came into coming out of college, where the Sabres were fighting for the playoffs, and it looked like, he played most of the games, came just right in out of college and played most of the games. So, as it turned out, he couldn't handle it, and he needed some time in the minors, and they finally got him there. And when he got there, that's when you started seeing the improvement in Devin Levi, because he was playing every night.
So another guy that I was looking at here is Mattias Samuelsson. He's had a lot of injury troubles over the past few years, but in the time he was healthy for the Sabres, it looked like he was this shutdown defensive defenseman that they hadn't really been able to find lately. And then he gets hurt again. So what does this training camp mean for him, and what's going to be the indicators here on how much he's going to be able to do this season? I mean, you know, that injury last year was really, it was not great, but, you know, will he be able to come back this year and still be effective?
And that's the thing. I mean, he's going to have to find a way to try to eliminate the injuries, and some of them are not his fault. The others, sometimes he has himself in a bad spot and he gets hurt. Some of them you can't avoid, but the fact remains is he can't keep himself on the ice. And when he's healthy and playing, he's an absolute asset to this team. I mean, he is a very good shutdown type of defenseman, leads their penalty kill, and is a guy that is very, very useful. But he's got to be able to be out on the ice and play, and that's what he has to figure out. How can he do that? You know, how can he maybe not get himself in certain situations that open himself up to injury and that type of thing? So it'll be, you know, we can't predict it. We don't know if he's going to be able to injure or not. But if he's healthy, I mean, he's definitely a very good top four defenseman for them.
Paul, last thing from me and on the Western Hotline is Paul Hamilton. So first we have a new scoreboard, and now apparently we have a new mural in Alumni Plaza. Paul, the Sabres are freaking me out. What are they doing?
Oh, is there a new mural there? I haven't seen that.
Well, we got a tweet. We saw a tweet yesterday circulating around Twitter that they're taking down all of the old pictures. There's nothing going back up yet, and we don't know what it is. But, I mean, that mural's been up there since I was a little kid. I mean, there's Tyler Myers, Max Afanaganov. You have a lot of old names up there. I mean, that's a big change, I think. I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of random, don't you think?
Yep. You know who's not going to be up there?
Now I'm nervous.
Yeah, who?
Jack Eichel.
Oh, all right. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I got nervous. So I'm like, no, it's going to take some time. No, it's Eichel. Okay.
No, all right. But I do wonder what they're going to do with it, though, because, I mean, they could go like a nostalgia route, right? Like, it just updated a little bit, not have it black and white, where they had that whole era of Sabres and traffic with the black and white photos and all that stuff. Like, is it? What do you anticipate? I mean, I know we kind of sprung this on you.
You're out of my league. I have no idea. that's way out of my area of expertise. Murals. That's not my thing. I'd be the one that you would have said to November, "How do you like the new mural?" And I go, oh, there's a new mural.
There's a new one? What?
Kind of like I just did right now, just because I don't pay attention to that stuff. It's like the goal songs. People bring up the goal songs to me. I'm like, I have no idea.
I am going to miss because I don't pay any attention. Not having High School Musical.
Yeah, when a goal is scored, what do I have to, you know, I got to look at replays, I got to take notes, I got to tweet. The goal song is the last thing on my mind. And I'm like, I have no idea about a goal song. I didn't even know they play them. I just don't pay attention to that stuff at all.
Well, now for your birthday, we're going to get a laminated sheet of all the goal songs, and you can just have it right there where you're sitting. Real quick, you'll have them right there for you. Paul, thank you so much.
I don't have a goal song. Sorry.
Well, we're going to get you one. Ooh. It's going to be ABBA. You know that, though.
We got to get him one now.
You know that. Paul, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.
Take care, guys.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Wester Hotline. And Paul's reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. I'm so serious, though. I'm going to miss We're Soaring when Josh Giddey scores.
I'm going to miss the obscure pick. Who's going to be the new obscure goal song guy? You have to have one.
But it's got to be somebody that's like going to, I don't mean to say it like this, that scores goals.
Well, right, yeah.
Someone that, like, when I see it, I'm like, I need to be, like, at most home games. So yeah. I can, like, maybe hear this.
But, like, I mean, I'm looking at the roster right now, and I'm trying to figure out. I mean, we have a few new wild cards. You don't know what Ryan McLeod's going to do. You don't know what Jason Zucker, Beck Malenstein, yep. Sam Lafferty, Nicholas Abbe-Cabell. Those five guys are all brand new, and you have no idea what they could do in terms of songs. I'm going to go out on a limb. Sam Lafferty's going to pick something funny.
Then you got to score like 25
goals.
Yeah,
for sure. But another one that could, Jack Quinn.
Yeah, maybe.
He seems like he could have like a Skinner-esque goal song.
Maybe. They're going to need like a new personality.
They have personalities. That's like Zach Benson is up there in terms of, you know, just the fun, goofy guy.
I will miss Jeff Skinner. Like, yeah. I hope he does well in Edmonton this year. I will miss him. A lot of it, though, due to the personality. He has been one of my favorite people on the Sabres because he loved just having fun, joking around.
Personally, whenever it came to the conversation of should Jeff Skinner get traded, what have you, and all that.
It played into it for me.
The only reason that ever came up was the contract.
Yeah.
And it was never, you know, because, I mean, Skinner still produced up until he left. Granted, it wasn't to the $9 million value, and that's part of the reason why you move off of it. But it was really only ever because of the contract. It was never because of the character. It was never because of the personality. He was a guy that always kept this locker room together. He was fun, you know, did good stuff on and off the ice. And it was just, you know, it's one of those guys where it's like, yeah, you know, you don't like to trade him, but you kind of have to. Right,
that's kind of how I saw it too, and it did not help either that he effectively had just over half of his point production last year compared to 2022-23.
Right,
you know, he's going into his 32-year season. It's a shame, but I think you're right. It just became one of those where you don't want to, you probably have to.
He was the last Sabre on this current team that ever wore a dark blue Sabres jersey, I think.
Oh.
Wait, no. No. No, that's not right. I'm just picturing...
Tage War, I think.
Yeah, I think Tage might have done it for a season. Same with Cousins, potentially. And Darlene.
Cousins, I actually don't think did.
I don't know, because I'm trying to remember. Obviously, the change was rather recent, but I can't get the image of Skinner, Pominville, and Eichel out of my head. Yep. And that's just like all I can think of. And I'm like, none of these guys were on that team, but that team went through many changes before that all broke down. But never mind. I take that back. He was definitely not the last one to wear the royal blue or the navy blue, if you want to call it that.
He was one of them, though.
He was one of them. Yeah, there's not many left.
803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in on the Sabres conversation. Always welcome to talk to them. We also were talking about the Bills' 2-0 start and how legit you believe it is. We'll look for your calls next after a quick timeout. You're listening to Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show rolls along with Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt. We're taking your calls on the Bills' 2-0 start to the season. Is it legit? How do you feel going forward, especially with some of the other teams in the AFC, namely the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens starting 0-2? But we did just get off the phone with Paul Hamilton as the Sabres preseason. I mean, training camp starts tomorrow. The preseason starts Saturday.
Zach, I'm back.
Oh, no.
I'm in.
Oh, no.
They've done it again. I am back.
We were just talking in the break about how, like, I'm up and down about this season. I'm excited because it's hockey, and I always like when it's back.
Yeah. I think a lot of it for me is that it's hockey.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But it's also, I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back.
And I'm sitting here going, like, I know.
I'm ready.
I know I'm going to be dragged in by the first hype video. I'm going to get goosebumps for, like, the eighth year in a row. I'm going to be like, all right, what's, you know, not season tickets because I'm already late to that, but what's, like, a ticket pack going to cost? I'll look at the prices. I'll watch the first four games and go, why, God, why? That's what's going to happen.
No, it's not. Things will be different.
Definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
But it's different this time.
Is it?
You.
I will tell you, look, I'm excited for the games in Prague, especially because they start before the rest of the NHL, so you'll get an early look. I am stoked for Lindy Ruff's first game back in Buffalo behind the bench. I legitimately am amped for that. I cannot wait. That is going to be a game where I'm going to fly home so I can watch the whole thing.
I'm
going
to try to get to the game. Like, I'm going to try to be there.
Not a chance. I'm not willing to spend that kind of money, but not a chance. But I'm going to sit there. I'm going to have a good meal for dinner. I'm ecstatic.
Yeah.
And they've got to prove it to me. I guess I'm at that point now. And
oh yeah,
we were joking before the show even started. You know, like they're going to start like 10-5, and everyone's going to be like, "Do it in January.
Keep going."
I'm kind of that fan now. I feel like of just like, do it consistently, it consecutively, do it over a long period of time. I was there when Jeff Skinner beat San Jose in overtime with my buddy Joe, and it was apoplectic where everyone's cheering like we want like what was it 12 at that time, or we want 10.
That was 10. So the San Jose game was 10 in a row.
We want 10. Like it was unbelievable. That is my
favorite. The Sabres were in first place in the NHL.
Outside of RJ night, crazy. That is my favorite night I've ever spent in the arena. And, and I did not spend a lot in my younger years, so please forgive me. But it was RJ night, and it was that. I mean, genuinely goosebumps, loving it, the whole thing. Me and my buddy, we listened to post game the whole way home. We're talking out of our minds. We're barely listening, but then we would. And then we're talking about that. It was wonderful. And then it tailspinned. And it's happened a lot where they give you glimpses of, whether it's early in the season or late, they give you glimpses of this season is just a firework when they're good.
And I think also I say I'm back, but I'm in the same boat as you. You need to just consistently prove that you can be a consistent hockey team. And that's something that has been lacking for this entire drought is – you can go on a 10-game winning streak, but then you go on a 12-game losing streak. If you go on, out of 10 games, let's say you're 7-3, right?
Yeah.
The next 10, if you're 5-5, that's okay. As long as you get back to the 7-3, it's okay to be an average team. As long as you can have those moments every 10 games where you're winning more than half of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, even 2 years ago when they went on, it was like 8-game streak of not even getting a point?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big thing, too.
That was the year that they were one point shy of the playoffs, and let's not forget about Hudson Fashing, the super soccer star, kicking a goal in against the Sabres. But hey, The NHL says you can kick it in now, apparently. So
apparently.
I'm not salty. It's fine.
But, I mean, I think it's a thing, too, that I hope Lindy Ruff brings to this team is just, like, the ability to drag games into overtime, even on a night you're not playing that well. I get it. Right. It's 82 games. I'm not expecting perfection every night.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's so much. It's funny because we're talking about the Bills here having a 2-0 start, and is it realistic and what's going on there? But it's so much different because there's only 15 more games.
Yeah.
And you kind of need this sort of every single game matters. Mm-hmm. Like I remember last year when the Sabres were starting to push, and or maybe it was 2 years ago, but a bunch of Bills fans were kind of jumping in and oh, they just lost two in a row. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
There's 82 games in the season. Right. It's okay. It's not, if you lose two games in a row, you're not out of the playoffs or, you know, like it's, I think, you know, you talked about the abilities that Lindy Ruff's going to bring. And I think not to sound cheesy here, but the best ability is accountability. And that's something they didn't have at the end with Don Granato. Maybe in the beginning, but it was clearly lacking in last season.
Yep.
So that's what I'm hoping for the most.
Yep. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go back to the phones. We've got David here on the line. David, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Good.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering, what is taking them so long to announce the captain? I think we all know it's going to be Darlene. Season's about to start here. What is what's the holdup, you think?
I think it might be one of those things where they do announce it like after the preseason is done.
Or like
kind of make it at like the end of special announcement.
Kind of
end of training camp.
I mean, to be fair, the first preseason game's on Saturday. So it might be soon.
That's
a little
I do agree though. Like me and you were talking about it in the break, because you know, we can see kind of like what's coming up here on the call screen. We're like, it's Darlene, right? Like
it's gotta be. I mean, I feel like, you know, with what he's done in the offseason in terms of talking with Lindy Ruff and all that stuff, and just what he's done on the ice over the years, I think it has to be. But there's still an outside chance that I want to say, like, Alex Tuch or Tage Thompson, right? Like, I feel like those two have to be some sort of alternate.
Tuch is the only other guy I would want in there. I don't need Tage to be a captain. His name's never really brought up about it.
I would like him to be an alternate, personally. I think he should still be part of that leadership group, if you want to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I feel like it's like 90% of me says Darlene, and like the other 10% you could split between Tuck and Thompson, however you wanted.
Yeah.
But it just feels like it's kind of his thing.
It does, right? Like, it's between him and Tuck. I mean, when Tuck got here, that was kind of a big thing, too, of the leadership. He's a guy from the area, Syracuse, not Buffalo, but from the area. He grew up a fan of the team, and he has come in with a lot of leadership. I don't know. They're a team that I went from, again, at this time last year, I was ecstatic for the young players they had. I thought they had so many young guys that were going to be not future NHL superstars, but guys that like were going to be core pieces of a potential Stanley Cup winning team, because everyone was ascending at the same time. Everyone looked like they were taking steps together. Now, again, you know, 12 months later, we are in a different spot. And I even equate that, not necessarily Darlene's ability, but like even Darlene's captain, I guess. I'm sitting here going like, man, are we sure? I mean, yeah, probably. Like 95% sure, but there's that 5%, you know, negative thoughts in my head of like, are we sure though? Same with Tuck, you know, same with Cousins. I mean, Cousins, I would have told you he was going to be the assistant captain for like 10 years at this time last year, just because, again, as I joke, he looked like he was willing to fight a polar bear for his teams or for his teammates most nights. And then there was a period there after he got into a fight where he looked like he didn't really want to do any of that. I don't know. They're a team that, again, the results are going to have to come. Where with the Bills, on the opposite side of things, they're a team I trust, relatively so. Yes, there are times I'm not a huge fan of them. But, you know, in terms of them starting 2-0, we haven't really even talked about how seriously we think this is. I think it's pretty legit, because I think the team has shown time in and time out, well, yes, they'll drop a game here or there. They're one of the better regular season teams in football. They very rarely have a period where they lose two or three games in a row, and they oftentimes will win five, six, seven games in a row in a season. They will go on runs. They also play really, really well against good teams. And oftentimes in the regular season, I understand, come out on top. Like, I know people are worried about Baltimore. I'm sitting there just excited for it. They could lose it, sure, but I'm excited for it. They typically go up against good teams and play well. Cincinnati being one of the few they have honest-to-God issues with. And I don't really know if that's going to stick now that they've lost their safety tandem. And you even saw it. I mean, look, they put up their best game against Kansas City. They look like the average Bengals early in the season over the last few years. Week one against New England, who looks like a terrible team, even though they're playing hard. I mean, that's really what New England is right now. They're playing hard football. They're going to be a pest, the whole thing.
Are they Steelers light?
Ooh. No, I think Jacoby Brissett's better than Justin Fields.
Oh.
They've scored one touchdown in two games.
Oh, I know that. I'm just – I was just
– With that being said, though, Justin Fields had a throw to George Pickens that was called back. That was truly phenomenal.
To be fair, the offense for the Steelers did look better last game.
I mean, sure.
It's not great, but it's certainly
not
better.
Good.
No.
It's mediocre at best.
But I just – I don't know. I mean, I feel like they're like the same team, except
– Hell yeah, they are. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the Steelers are the same team that they always are. Never mind.
Yeah. But no, I mean, the Steelers and the Patriots, except the Steelers just won't admit that they're in a rebuild.
I love them so much.
Because the Patriots are very open. Like, yeah, we are in a rebuild. We're working on it. We're going in the right direction. We have our quarterback. We're going to work on it.
We're not going
to
play
him. The Steelers are like, hey, we went and got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Let's go to 8-9 or 9-8.
Let's do it, baby.
Let's get to 9-8 and keep that record alive.
I love them.
We don't need a Super Bowl. We already won one. It's fine.
I love the Steelers so much. Real quick on them. They just refuse to move forward with the times. And Mike Tomlin is such a good head coach. And I will die on that hill. I believe he is an exceptional head coach, that he will will a team that is purely defensive. I mean, like, that's the team. They are defense and like a few Justin Fields runs right now. And he is going to will them to like 9-10 wins. And now with the AFC North, having two of the top dogs start 0-2, and Cleveland's 1-1, Pittsburgh, of course, 2-0, they have given themselves a window that when they eventually do play that hard-nosed, ugly Sunday night game against Baltimore or Cincinnati, where they just drag it into the mud, they're going to get a fluky win where everyone on Baltimore or Cincinnati radio is just losing their minds because you lost to a Pittsburgh team that will score at most this year 7 offensive touchdowns, and they lost.
And that's the high end.
That's the high end. And Pittsburgh's just gonna be like, that's what we do, baby. That's what we do. Our fans hate it, and we'll see in the wild card round where we get blown out.
Let's weld.
I love them. I absolutely love them. For all of the ugly reasons like I bring up, it's because it's just like, if they had a quarterback,
right,
you could have a real conversation about them.
Actually, I don't know, because you have George Pickens.
And that's it. You have George Pickens. And Pat Freiermuth, who didn't even score the touchdown. It was Darnell Washington. NFL hero from 2 years ago.
But that's my point, is even if you add a quarterback to that roster, you're not
fixed. You're right. They have Arthur Smith as offensive coordinator, too. You're right.
Oh, God. They went from Matt Canada to Arthur Smith.
I love them. I'm so serious.
They
do everything wrong and just keep succeeding. I say it as a joke, but I'm so serious. They have the mandate of heaven. The mandate of heaven is not winning the Super Bowl when you shouldn't. It's being like considered competent when you clearly aren't. And just figuring out ways to win. They should not be 2-0. They shouldn't be. Atlanta last night actually looked okay. Kirk Cousins, I'm really concerned about his health. He can't move.
Well, it's weird because I remember I was watching a few different drives from Atlanta, and there were moments where Cousins just looked calm, cool, and collected.
And they would almost skip a ball.
Right.
That would travel more than 20 yards. It was insane watching him play last night.
But then there was also these moments where it's like, how is he
starting?
Well, yes, but it's... It looked different. It looked better than week one. Let's put it that way.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, he went 20 for 29, 241, and 2 touchdowns. I literally don't know how that stat line came to be.
Right. I mean, because there were times where I would look at the TV and say, what is he doing? And then I'd look back at the next play, and it'd be like, oh, that's Kirk Cousins for a 40-yard touchdown.
Great.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's so inconsistent with him, but you add in the Achilles injury on top of that, and it's just like, what? How does this work? It's magic.
So
I don't understand.
And then with Denver, I mean,
ugh.
I mean that's the thing, and ultimately that's the thing too with Pittsburgh. It ultimately has been somewhat of a smooth ride to start the two games. Atlanta, not what I think a lot of people were hoping for. Even last night, it was still
very questionable on what they are. And then a Denver team where Bo Nix, not the quote of the post game.
No, it was the quote of the week. It was the quote of the week.
No, everything Brian Callahan says about Will Levis, I'm a fan of. Everything he says. Yeah. But like when asked about him throwing a pick, he's like, well, I dropped back.
I dropped back and I threw the ball to the other team.
And just deadpan stare into the ether. No, it was so good.
I don't care what you say. That's the quote of the week.
Brian Callahan, 2 weeks in a run, or 2 weeks in a row, went, it would have been better if we had punted. We would have won the game. And then the second one, he just goes on a run where he's a grown-up. He knows what he's doing. He cost us points, and he knows it.
How much is Brian Callahan regretting
taking the
Cincinnati?
Job? Yeah. Just taking the job in general?
Yeah. Well, no. Just, I mean, he left Cincinnati. He was the
guy.
Good.
He was working.
That was the team to beat.
I don't know if he was calling plays, though. I think Zach Taylor was calling plays.
Right, but still, I mean, you're part of the group that's contributing to the success.
Part of the group project.
Well, I mean... Not in that
sense. You
didn't
do any work, but you're part of the group project.
No, come on. You can't say that. You could say that about... Who could you say that about? Who's a coordinator that is, hey, we got an A, but I wrote my name on the top of the paper.
For years, I don't know how true it is, but for years, everyone was like, Eric Bieniemy, Kansas City. It's Andy Reid.
Yeah.
I felt bad for him. I was really happy when he went to Washington, and outside of Sam Howell deciding to take all of the sacks... They were at least entertaining on offense.
Where is he right now?
I was just about to look that up because I'm like, I know he's obviously not in Washington.
As you looked that up, I looked up Brian Callahan and one of the news articles.
Dude, the
thumbnail is the sideways angle of Will Levis.
It's so good.
Bowling the ball across the ground.
It's so good. Eric Bieniemy, by the way, in college, he is the assistant head coach and offensive coordinator over at UCLA.
Oh.
UCLA, historic Big Ten team as well because. We have Border Corner and now in college football. Got to take a quick timeout. 803-0550, the number call if you want to join the show. We've got One Bills Live coming up at 12 o'clock. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com. Looking ahead at the week 3 NFL schedule, Thursday night football, rough this week. New England versus the Jets. The Jets, Josh, we've not touched on them yet. They are 1-1. Easily should have been 0-2 if Will Levis does not just have the most cartoonish turnovers I've ever seen in my life.
I want him to keep going at this point.
I mean, I do
lean
too.
Into it.
I mean, yeah, but like. Just know you're going to be benched by week 6 because your coach is already like losing his mind on the sideline.
Who's their backup?
It's not Malik Willis.
No, because he's starting in Green Bay and he actually won.
Oh, who is their backup quarterback? Oh, man.
I got it here.
Is it on?
Guess. I want you to guess. Former Pittsburgh Steeler legend.
Oh, Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
They're 2-0 with him starting, aren't they? If Mason Rudolph was the starting quarterback, they're 2-0. They are, aren't they?
Oh, that's, I don't know. Mason Rudolph.
I think they are.
Not.
They lose to the Jets 24-17. They were in control of that game.
Right.
In control. Mm-hmm. Even if they just get a field goal there, it's 10-0 and the Jets look completely dead in the water. And then with Chicago,
okay.
That offense couldn't do anything. They get a special teams touchdown and the pick six, which again, cartoonish turnover.
The Chicago game I'm on board, but the Jets one I'm not sure.
I'm there.
I think they'd be 1-1.
I'm completely there. They'd be 2-0. I'm completely there.
No.
But the Jets are bad.
Oh, I know.
They are not good.
Right.
Offense.
That's Aaron Rodgers' first win as a New York Jet.
Oh boy. I think though,
which I think is even the funnier part.
Real quick with the Jets. Coaching matters. And that maybe is more obvious than ever in New Orleans with Clint Kubiak as the offense coordinator, how good they have looked and how just basic the Jets have looked with Nathaniel Hackett as OC and even Robert Saleh with his defense and how they just give up runs after runs after runs after runs with his defense. And now they're down Jermaine Johnson. They are in a bad spot. And coming up for the Jets, Patriots obviously on Thursday night, that team is playing hard. That is not going to be an easy game for the Jets at all. Denver should be easy, but then Minnesota looks good. Buffalo, Pittsburgh drags you in the mud. It's going to be – they're not going to be a good team this year, I don't think. Not at all.
It's going to be back and forth wins and losses, I think.
Like, yep.
Just 1-1, 1-1 all the way every 2 weeks.
It's going to be bad. That's going to do it for me and Josh today. We'll be back on from 10 to 12, joined by Mark Long of the AP to talk Jacksonville at 11 o'clock tomorrow. But coming up after a quick timeout, One Bills Live, 3 hours today. This is WGR.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.